Golden Incense Altar. It is also called the Golden Altar. It was 3 feet high and 1.5 feet square, furnished with two rings and staves by which it was carried on the march. The brazen altar had no crown, but the golden incense altar has a crown. Exodus 30, verses 1 through 10. The golden incense altar represents Jesus in his humiliation, suffering, and death. The only crown he wore then was a crown of thorns and of mockery. Thorns symbolized the curse, but there is a golden crown on the golden incense altar because it represents him who, though once made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, is now crowned with glory and honor. Hebrews 2, verse 9. The golden incense altar represents Christ in his heavenly ministry, where he lives for us in the presence of God, meeting all our needs as saints and worshipers. The golden incense altar represents the high priest in intercession for us. By his sacrifice, we are redeemed, forgiven, accepted, and brought nigh to God. By his intercession, we are maintained in his communion. Read Romans 8:34, Hebrews 7:24-25, Hebrews 9:24-28, and Hebrews 4, verse 15. The holy incense. No one but priests, in perfect order and standing, were permitted to offer this incense. It was not offered in the camp or in the court, but always in the holy place. Leviticus 10, verses 1 through 3. God seeks worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. This way of worship was in truth, for it was according to God's standard. God wants worship because we love him. It is insulting for a paid choir to sing praises to Jehovah. He does not want this praise from people who, in many cases, do not even know the Lord. Much of what passes for worship is nothing but Sunday morning mockery. God is a God of love, but also of justice and holiness. He does not want anything that is natural or psychic. Folks get into a religious mode of thought by subdued lights, music. No reality, it is purely psychic. They get a result, however, it does not follow that they get what they want. They are deceived. There is a lot of music going on in churches that the Lord has nothing to do with. This service in the tabernacle was heavenly, divine, and under perfect regulation. Incense was to be burned upon this little altar. Exodus 30, verse 8, Hebrews 13, 15, Psalm 141, 2, Psalm 84, verse 4, Psalm 34, verse 1, Psalm 145, verse 2, Acts 16, verses 25 and 26, and Ephesians 5, verse 20. The horns upon this golden altar are symbolical of the strength of the intercession and the character of the worship. Compounding of the incense. The incense for the golden incense altar was unlike any other incense. The ingredients were of a rare and precious kind. It was a special compound of the Lord, never used for any other purpose. Christ was unlike anyone else, never duplicated. The ingredients were of equal proportions. Christ is God, man. Only the seed of Aaron could offer this incense. Only we, the royal priesthood, can offer him back again to God or claim anything in his name. Numbers 16:40. And 2 Chronicles 26, verses 16 through 21. The ingredients were mixed to make one compound. The perfect blending of human and divine made Christ one person. No one was allowed to make any such composition. We are not to look for a new Christ, such as the followers of Krishnamurti are doing. The incense was described as being pure, perpetual, sweet, and most holy. Think of Christ in these terms. He is pure, liveth forever, is sweet and most holy, for he is God. The incense was beaten, suggests suffering, beaten very small and burned with fire in order that its sweet-smelling properties might be developed. It was the fire that released these elements. It did not destroy them. God's fire does not destroy us. It releases us. The bands of the children of Israel in the fiery furnace were burned, but they were released. There are some things in ourselves that God desires that only fire can release. In order to know God, we must know ourselves, and that is where the trouble comes. we, in faith, should dare to expose ourselves to God's fire and let Him bring forth, release the elements in us that He wants. The thing that we think He wants is probably the thing that He is not looking at. The thing in us that we do not think amounts to anything is the thing that He wants. The incense beaten into its separate kernels was no good until the fire released it. Where thy wounds give only joy. Let God get some real satisfaction out of your life. One of the greatest evidences of God's love to those who love Him is to send afflictions with grace to bear them. Differences between the two altars. The brazen altar was made of brass. The altar of incense was made of gold. The brazen altar was in the court. The altar of incense was in the holy place. The brazen altar speaks of atonement. The altar of incense speaks of praise and worship. The brazen altar is concerned with sacrifice and blood. The altar of incense is concerned with the offering of incense. The brazen altar made of brass. The altar of incense made of gold. The brazen altar in the court. The altar of incense in the holy place. Atonement in the brazen altar. Praise and worship at the altar of incense. The brazen altar made of brass. The altar of incense made of gold. The brazen altar in the court. The altar of incense in the holy place. Atonement, the brazen altar. Praise and worship, the altar of incense. Sacrifice and blood, the brazen altar. Incense, the altar of incense. Continual consecration of life to God, the brazen altar. Continual intercessory prayer, the altar of incense. Christ meeting the needs of sinners, the brazen altar. Christ meeting the needs of saints, the altar of incense. The cherubim on the mercy seat. Covering the ark were two figures which the Hebrew calls cherubim, Exodus 37:7-9. They were made of gold, of one piece with the mercy seat. Their wings were stretched on high, covering the mercy seat. They faced each other and looked down upon the mercy seat. Cherubim in Scripture. Cherubim were first seen at the Garden of Eden, where they guarded the entrance to the garden to keep man from the tree of life. Genesis 3:24. Cherubim were next seen in the tabernacle as part of the mercy seat. God dwelt between them. Exodus 25:22, Numbers 7:89, 1 Samuel 4:4, 2 Kings 19:15, Isaiah 37:16. They indicate God's mercy and grace as overshadowing His people. Psalm 61:4. Psalm 63:7. They suggest the bride of the overcoming group. Revelation 4:6-8. Revelation 5:8-10. Psalm 45:10-15. 2 Corinthians 3:18. 1 Corinthians 6:17. We also see cherubim in Ezekiel and in Revelation. Significance of the cherubim. The mercy seat gave the material for these cherubim, and out of the beating and hammering, the cherubim took form and became a recognized identity. The bride associated with Christ is to be so identified with Him that she is not artificially attached. It speaks of the deepness of union, identified with the cross in all its language. When you are inside the tabernacle, you are dealing with the privileges open to the saints. This beating out suggests suffering and glory. The cherubim were so arranged that they look toward the mercy seat. The bride looks at Christ, the author and finisher of her faith. Hebrews 12:1-2. The cherubim gazed upon the mercy seat in awe and admiration and saw the blood. In contrast, in the Temple of Solomon, there were two colossal or tremendous cherubim covered with gold, but made of wood. 2 Chronicles 3:10-13, 1 Kings 6:23-27. He set the cherubims within the inner house, 1 Kings 6:27. Their faces were inward, 2 Chronicles 3:13. There is much in Christendom today that does not come up to God's pattern, but these were God's pattern, 2 Chronicles 28:11-13, and verses 18 and 19.